Please be seated. A few years ago, I was sitting in a conference room at Macedonia Baptist Church on the Northern Neck, waiting for a board meeting to begin. It was an excellent board with really lovely, inspiring people, people who I really thought of as my friends, mostly. And the work that we did together helped create programs through a community development organization that actually was making a difference in our community. And it was the only board that I sat on where black people and white people were all sitting around the same table, making decisions together for our community. So it was a deeply gratifying and joyous group to be a part of. But in the chit-chat and checking in conversations that go on before these sort of meetings get going, I felt fairly disconnected and not joyous, I guess I could say. My mind was working on some things that it had been puzzling over for weeks, but I just couldn't seem to figure it out. It was like, well, have you ever tried to untangle a tangle of fishing line where the harder you try, the worse it gets? I think that's sort of where I was with these things going on in my mind, ruminating and not getting anywhere. Pretty much the poster child for the proverbial cat chasing its tail. And then a member of the board swept into the room, full of enthusiasm and energy, and announced to the group, "Someone get me something to eat before I perish." Her name was Carolyn Hines, and she has since gone to the glory of God, to her Father in heaven. Carolyn was a black woman, a PhD, and a consultant who traveled up and down the East Coast doing strategic planning for corporations and universities and other organizations. But mostly what she was a daughter of the kingdom of God. What she mostly was a disciple of Jesus. And you knew that whenever you were with her. She came to sit down next to me, but first she hugged my neck and she said, "I love that you're here. And I love you." And I said, well, I whispered because the meeting had actually already begun. I said, "Well, I love you too." And she said, "Well, of course you do." Carolyn. The chair called us to order and got the agenda going, and we passed around papers and got ourselves sort of squared away and on track. And I was trying to get myself focused. But behind the scenes, my mind was still spinning and bearing down on these things that I just couldn't get figured out. And what had me in such a tangle, I'll tell you, was trying to understand what was going on in the world right then and what we were supposed to do about it. Sort of like right now. Carolyn leaned into me and looked over her glasses with this remarkable, mischievous kind of expression, and she whispered, "I've been praying for you, you know?" And I said, "Thank you," because what else does an uptight white Episcopalian say when someone says something like that? And she said, "Don't thank me. The Spirit has put it on me to pray for you." And I went back to my papers trying to get focused on our work, but I couldn't, and I looked back at her and I discovered that she was still looking at me. And I said, well, what are you praying for, Carolyn? And she said, you never mind that. And I found that as the meeting went along, that all of those knotted thoughts had eased. Nothing had been solved. I still hadn't figured out what was going on in our world and what we were supposed to do about it, but something in my spirit stopped struggling. Well, why was that? Well, in part, it's just the utterly surprising, happy thought that someone has thought of you and is praying for you, is remembering you. That is so important to know for all of us. It matters so much, though I can't tell you exactly why. Maybe it's simply that someone has thought to do something for you, and that what they had thought to do for you was to pray for you. That is such a powerful reminder, good people, that we are not on our own to figure all of this out. That day, my cat stopped chasing its tail and curled up on a Sunday window seat in my soul and fell asleep. There is some work that is God's work to do for you, for us. I know, you may say, well, God will move mountains, but we had better bring our shovels. I know, all right, I get that. The amazing celebration last week to say goodbye to Eleanor. And the Sunday a few weeks ago when the bishop came to visit and confirm the faith in these young people and to celebrate the ministry of this place. Neither of those things would have happened without a whole lot of people, a whole community doing a whole lot of work together. But with all due respect, I do not think that the bringing our shovels part of the equation is what we need to worry about. That's not what we need to work on. I think remembering that God, right now, is carrying out the work God needs to do for you, for us, that is the part we easily lose track on, I think. Is that because we think God has got bigger things to worry about than me? Maybe. Or there are people who are a lot worse off than me in this world who God needs to take care of first. I don't think God calculates that way, friends. Or is it simply too hard to think about God thinking about you? You. Maybe it's just a little overwhelming or even scary to think that God's eye is on you and that you are the apple of God's eye. Maybe it's hard to think and know and feel that God's love for you is a personal love. Oh, good heavens. Can Episcopalians talk about the personal love of God? Well, we ought to. Because aren't those Jesus' words for us in this gospel today? What he is saying, what he is praying, comes from the very last night he shared with his friends. After he had washed their feet, after he had fed them, after he talks about to them what their lives will mean together and what they will mean together in the days to come, just before they go out into the night for the last time, he prays for them and he prays for us too. Did you hear? He says, I am praying not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. And in believing, we will live surrounded by the same love that the Father has for the Son. And isn't that the kind of love that makes you the apple of God's eye? There is some work that is God's work to do. For example, Think about this. Do you know that the air pressure at sea level is 14.7 pounds per square inch? Did you know that? You might, but do you know what that means, living in the world as God has ordered it? It means that God does the breathing for us. It means that we don't even actually breathe for ourselves. We do not have to figure that out. The pressure of the air as we live and breathe literally rushes into our lungs and gives us life. It just did again and again. Jesus prays for us too, promising that the love he shares with God rushes into us and gives us life and living in his name. Being discreet about such things, I never asked my friend what she was praying for me. I wanted to, but I never did again. But whatever that prayer was, did its work. Someone is praying for you, to paraphrase an old hymn, the Lord Jesus himself. We live now in this very moment, right now, in the holy communion of the Father's love for the Son, like the air we breathe, to rush in and give us life. Amen.